I have so much that I want to share, and I know I'm not going to be able to fit it all. And when you're talking about the ministry and getting into the ministry, being in the ministry, you know, starting in the ministry or staying in the ministry, there's so much that's there that you really have to just kind of pick which ones that the Lord wants you to talk about and go with it. But I do want you to understand a couple of things before we get into our lesson. I want to read something to you here. And I want to, like I said, it's just so much, but there is a couple of things before I get into the lesson I'd like to talk to you about. I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this word, but I think it's Helmut Theolike German, so you can understand the hardness of trying to read that. Anyway, this person tells of walking along a city street in Germany about the time in the morning when your breakfast is but a memory and lunchtime is 2 hours away. He saw a sign on an establishment. It read, "Fresh bread for sale." His mouth began to water, his stomach began to growl, and his mind said, "Why not?" One piece of fresh bread, warm from the baker's oven, won't mess up your lunch too much. He entered the building and asked for a slice of bread. The clerk smiled and said, "Sir, I'm sorry. We don't make bread. We make signs." It would be tragic if some hungry soul, some spiritual starved person, came to your church only to discover that you are better at marketing the church than preaching the gospel, that we don't produce what we promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Produce what you promise. Have a product. All right? Don't just be a billboard. Don't just have a name. All right? There's a lot of different things out there that we can try to get people come to our church. But what are we going to do with them when they get here? You know, Brother Greg talked about how that we had mom spinning around over here, dad spinning around on this side. We was having a lot of fun. But I'm going to tell you something. We also got them down on this altar. Hallelujah. We got people that come in periodically into our church. And when they come in, they come and they sit on that back bench. They're not asking for a good message. They're not asking for pretty singing. I believe when somebody comes into our services, set on our back row, they're asking, "Can you deliver me from this alcohol? Is there hope for me on this methamphetamine? Can you put my marriage back together again?" Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something, young people. When you come out of this 12, I pray to God that you're not just a billboard Christian. Glory to God. That can just get people to come in and get your programs going. And then I talked to somebody over the Christmas break. I asked them how their church was doing. And every Christmas, I can almost tell you exactly what their answer is to me. Their answer is this: "You know, we're doing great. We have in this year, in this just last week on Christmas, we had as many numbers as we did on our best summer week or our best school week," or he has some kind of way that worked out to where he's going to explain to me how many numbers that he has. I didn't ask you how many numbers you had. I asked how your church was doing. It's a lot different than just having numbers and just having people come. Man, it, you can go down. Somebody from the Dallas Cowboys administration, that's the way that they answer when we go and ask them, how is the football team doing? Well, we had 40,000 people that gathered on a special event, and it's doing really good. The administration is doing really well. That's not the way that we answer. I want you to understand that just bringing numbers in is not the answer. Glory to God. But what are we going to do with them when we get them here? Glory to God. I love to see church growth. But I want to tell you something. Church growth starts with the growth of Christ in that church. And I want to let you know something here today, young people. If you want your church to grow, you're going to have to grow. Brother Greg talked about you grow, talked about growth. I want to tell you something. That's the answer. You've got to grow. If you want your church to be revived, draw a circle around yourself. Say, revive me. Our nation is the way that it is because of our church. It was the direction of our church that led it that way. The church is the way that it is because of our families. The families are the ones who make up the church. Our families are the way that they are because of the leaders of our families. We've got some parents in here and then some that are soon going to be parents. I want to tell you something. We've got to build strong families in order to have a strong church. We got to have a strong church or a strong church in order to have a strong nation. But I want you to understand, young people, don't just be a billboard. Hallelujah. Don't just go to a church and produce a sign. Have a product. Glory to God. I give you Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One man said, man, what do you have for young people? I have Christ. What do you have for skinny people? I have Christ. Hallelujah. What do you have I won't say it to offend Pastor Davis, but what do you have for people that have less hair on their head? I have Jesus Christ. That's our program. Our program is Jesus Christ. Yeah, we may have different things for the youth. Maybe we may go here and there for the youth. We may have a children's church, but I can guarantee you that every event that we have at a children's church event or a youth event is somewhere you're going to have Christ intertwined in every bit of the mix. And I want to tell you something. That is our product here at Lighthouse Ministries. It is Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you something. I can have the confidence that if somebody comes back there with a marriage that's broken up and they come to me and they say, Brother Jared, can you, or they have that question on their mind, can you put my family back together again? I give you Christ. That is my product. I'm not just an empty church. I'm not just an empty soul, but I give you Christ. One of the other things that I want to let you know is that as you begin your ministry, you're going to, and I know this is just kind of stuff, I have so much I want to talk to you about and so much I want to give to you. And Brother Greg apologized to me. He said, Brother Jerry said, I apologize for going long. And I said, oh, it's no problem. The program is actually, it's just kind of a, what did I say? It's an option. The program is kind of a suggestion, an option. All right. So we're probably going to go a little long. But anyway, now I've lost my train of thought. What was I saying? See, you wasn't listening. Yeah, the one more thing that I want to talk to you about. When you get into the ministry, most of you here are going to get married. And you're going to have children. And the beginning of your ministry is raising children, raising a family. And I want you to understand that the family comes number one. All right? Your first calling is to be a husband and a father, Brother Noah. Sister Holly, your first calling is to be a wife and a mother. And we have to make sure that we take care of the number one things in our lives that God has placed for us to take care of. Amen? And I want you to understand that do never, ever, ever put your family on the back burner because of ministry. Never do that. Involve your family in your ministry. All right? Make them a part of it. My children got to go to youth camp a long time before some of the other ones did. They helped me in youth camp. I had them, I think it was this year at youth camp. They were running some puppets back there. I'm telling you, I'm excited. I want my family to be part of my ministry. All right? So make them part of your ministry. There's nothing any feels any better than this right here. When you're praying for everybody and you have one of your kids that you're carrying on your hip, and every time that you lean down to pray for Sister Whitney, he leans down and puts that little bitty old paw on there and prays for her. And then you have, at some time, some of you that come to Lighthouse know what I'm talking about. We're coming and we're praying, and Brother Jared has got the Kleenex. He's the Kleenex pastor. And he goes around with the Kleenex, and he gives the Kleenex to everybody, and that's his ministry. That's what he's doing. Then after he's done, he gets the trash can and goes around and picks up everybody's Kleenex from them. Man, I'll tell you, that just makes me so happy. The other day, here a while back, I should say the other day, it's been a couple months ago, had a man in our church that kind of had been going through some things, and just started coming to our church for a little while. And he said that as he was praying, my son, Jared, went up and began to pray for him. And he said it was amazing the way that Jared was used. He said that he began to speak and began to pray. He said he sounded like an adult praying and was saying exactly what I needed to hear. And it helped him to get his breakthrough. I want you to understand that your children and your wife or your children, your husband, should never be pushed to the back, but they should be an intricate part of your ministry. Amen. Make them a part of it. If your wife is not growing with you, something's wrong. If your husband is not growing with you, something's wrong. If my son at 7 years old was still sucking on a bottle, I would wonder what's going on. I would be taking him to the hospital. I'd be doing whatever. And I want to tell you something. If you ever look and see that you're growing and your spouse is not, you better hit your knees and pray. Because something may be in that life that needs to be taken care of. Hallelujah. All right, so just a couple of things that I wanted to share with you there before we get started. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to... this pulpit's not big enough. We're going to be talking today about Ministry 101. Everybody say Ministry 101. Those of you that are taking classes or looking into going into classes, you're going to realize that the first, if you test out okay, the first college courses that you're going to take are 101. That's the first courses that you're going to take. Now, if you're like me and you have to do a makeup course before that, you actually have to take something below 101 in order to get to 101. All right, I had to do one of those. But me and Brother Greg were kind of in the same boat there, doing gaps there to get caught up. But anyway, so this is kind of after you get into the ministry. We heard some great preaching about things to prepare you to get into the ministry. But what I want to talk about today, and like I said, I had to pick something that we could make an impact. I didn't want to have 10 things to talk about and then you never not get one of them. So I picked 3 things that I want to talk about here today, and that we're really going to cover. We're going to talk about Ministry 101. We're going to talk about come under authority. We're going to talk about capture the vision. And we're going to talk about carry the burden. Those are the 3 things that we're going to talk about. So grab your notepads. To the outline there on the left-hand side, I want you to write, number 1, come under authority. Number 1, come under authority. I want you to write, number 2, capture the vision. And then I want you, number 3, to write, carry the burden. Carry the burden. Everybody got it? Okay, I'll wait just a minute. We've got those fast writers that have it. She broke a pen last night. She's writing so fast. Come under authority, capture the vision, and carry the burden. Hallelujah. Now do we have it? Okay, that's enough of you. All right. So, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 28. Sister Shayla, she's asking what my scripture was. There it is. And plenty of time for you to put it up there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. When you got it, let's stand. All right. I like that. Now I can see who all's got it. All right. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What an awesome thing that we receive. Amen. I'll tell you something. One thing that I've learned is whenever you receive something, usually you have to put a little into it. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. It says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that one more time. I want you to stick with me here and pay attention to what the Word of God is saying to us. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Everybody say heaven. Let us have grace whereby we may, everybody say, serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We're grateful for this opportunity. We pray, God, that you would move upon this message. God, I know, Lord, that I am nothing, God. Anyone who knows me knows, Lord, that I am nothing. But God, I know, Lord, that through you all things can be done. We pray, Lord, that you would help me to deliver this the way that you give it to us. Hallelujah. With authority, Lord, with the anointing, God, let your spirit, Lord, move in this message. Glory to God. Bless us, Lord. Help us, God, here today. Help us to not just be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers also. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like to be seated. Hallelujah. All right. Man, I love this scripture. If you have the promise of heaven, God says, then let us have grace. It also says, let us serve God. Hallelujah. Woo! Let us serve God. Man, if we have such an awesome thing, and we have all testified, no doubt, have got up and said, man, I'm so grateful for what God has done for me. He's done this, and he's done this, and God has done this, and Megan, he's saved you, and Keisha, he's filled you with the Holy Ghost, and he's helped you through different trials, and he's helped you through different valleys. We talk about all the things that God has done for us. But I want to ask you a question here today. What have you done for him? Glory to God. What have you done for God? We can rattle off, and we've said so many times, I even said, I think it was last night or the night before, we can stay up all night long and all week long just mentioning the things that God has done for each one of us and have a testimony service that has lasted so long. But I wonder if God on his throne had a little bit of time and said, you know what, I'm just going to mention the things that Jared Davis has done for me. Let's see here. What has he done for me? Put your name in there. How many things could God mention that you've done? How have you been serving God? I want to let you know something. Just because you get in the ministry doesn't mean that you're serving God the way that you need to. All right? Just because you have a name doesn't mean that you're doing everything you need to for God. All right. If you're going to be in the ministry, I've got news for you. It's not just going to the office for 3-4 hours, sleeping in till 9-10 o'clock, going to the office, sticking around till lunch, going and grabbing lunch and a frappe on the way back, and getting your sermon notes all done, and then getting up behind the pulpit and preaching for for 30, 45 minutes, and you're done. That's not it. All right? young ladies, it's not just getting all primped and pampered and everything for church, and then you get to do whatever you want to for the rest of the day. It was so funny talking to Sister Holly here a while back. It's been a couple years ago, I think, but she said she had a lady come up to her and said, "Man, I would love to do what you're doing, to be on a vacation all the time and just to go shopping when you want to and do whatever when you want to." And I'm sure Holly's thinking, "Man, if I could just reach far enough, if I had Mandy Davis's arms and could reach far enough to put a red mark on the side of your face." Then you don't understand. It's not about that. You don't see the times whenever Holly is down praying for her husband that he could get the message that God and the burden. Could you imagine the burden that they have to bear of almost every single night that they are responsible for a service and the power of God moving through them? What a responsibility. We don't think about all those things. We don't think about how a pastor has to bear the burdens of every one of the people that have come into their, and the hurt that you feel whenever you lose a young person. I'm telling you, it tears you apart, doesn't it, Brother Greg? I mean, it rips your heart right out whenever you lose a young person, and the pain that you have to feel. I want you to understand that when you get into the ministry, it takes work, it takes pain. Oh, but I'm going to tell you, it's worth it. Glory to God. I want you to know that it's worth it when you see one of the young people break through like Brother Richie did a year ago in Southern Ohio Youth Camp when he began to speak in an unknown tongue that he was searching for years. Glory to God. Oh, he didn't even know what to do with himself. When he was finished, he was dripping. I'm telling you what, in the dry spot on his body, oh, it was worth every bit of the prayer. It was worth every bit of the trials. It was worth everything. See what God could move through him. It takes work. Hallelujah, but it's worth it. So I want you to understand that you are to serve. That's what your calling is. It is to serve. Don't ever get the attitude that I have a position, now everyone can serve me. All right? I love Brother Snow, what he does. Pastor Davis said he went down, we all went to a men's retreat down there. And Brother Snow comes out in an apron. His looked a little bit more manly than what me and Pastor Davis's did this morning. But he had an apron on, and he was serving his people. That was awesome. It made such a big impression that Pastor Davis and Sister Davis came back and bought aprons. And what did they do? They used points off of their vacation thing and took their staff to a retreat, a very, very expensive thing that we were doing, took them to a retreat. And where were they at? They had their aprons on, Brother Greg. They were serving us. They fixed us dinner and different things and served us the whole time. I don't know how many times it was there that dad and mom said, "You know, you got everything you need. How's the room? You like the room? What do you?" Man, I'm telling you, it's a servant. It's a servant attitude. Don't think when you get in the ministry, you're too high to serve. Let the first be number one. Let the first be up at top and everybody else be trampled under their feet. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it? Let the first be what? Last. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got that? Everybody nod your head like this. That's right, Brother Jared. All right, So you're receiving such an awesome thing. It's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome privilege to serve the Lord. It's not God's privilege to have you. It's your privilege to have the ministry that God has given you. Hallelujah. All right, so because of what God has given us, whereby we may serve God, what? Serve Him acceptably. Hallelujah. What's good and acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service, the Bible says. Hallelujah. When you do things that's acceptable to God, when you pray like you're supposed to and do everything that's acceptable to God, don't think that you should get the cupcake. You're just doing what's reasonable. That's your reasonable service. Glory to God. Somebody said, "Man, I pay tithe." Man, I'll tell you what. I pay tithe and God's going to bless me. No, not really. Tithe is just what you owe. If you want a blessing, you better give more than your tithe. Hallelujah. Maybe I should hit on that a little bit, because I know ministry needs that quite a bit too. But I'm going to tell you something. Every area of your life that you're giving to God, it is your privilege to give. It's not God's privilege that you give. I want, when you leave this room today, that's one of the main things that I want you to understand, is that you are a servant. Glory to God. You are a servant. You're not big. You're not mighty. You're a servant. Hallelujah. Anything that's done through you is by God. It's not by you. Amen? All right. Who are you a servant to? I don't know. Who called you for the job? First of all, we know we're a servant to God. But let me ask you, who called you for the job? All right. When you get that first call, Brother Jacob, maybe you'll get a phone call here in the future. You're down the road a little ways, and say, if Brother Greg, if you're not helping him or youth pastor in his church or whatever, and I am a big supporter of growing up in your church and being a part of your church. I have been for 16, 17 years now. I mean, I love it. I love everything about it. But if you get a phone call somewhere else and says, Brother Jacob, I want you to come and I want you to be my youth pastor. Who'd you get that call from? It was a pastor, right? Hopefully. Hopefully it wasn't the pastor's wife or, someone like that, board member or something. We want you to come and sneak in here and wedge the pastor out. You definitely don't want to answer that call. All right, but you're going to get a call, and you're going to get a call from the pastor. So who are we servants to? We're a servant to God, of course. But I want you to understand that whenever you come into a position, you are a servant to that pastor. Everybody's looking at me weird. Come on now. You are a servant to that pastor. All right, let's just kind of do a scenario here. Let's say that Brother Noah starts a business. All right, he starts a business and he's working. Let's say he works he's good with electrical. So let's say he works with electrical. You can go see my trailer out there; it's running great. He did all of that. He's wonderful. All right, so he started an electrical business. All right, now Brother Noah has built the business up. It's doing well. All right, he's got a lot of work and he can't finish it all. So he says, you know what? I need help. All right, so in order for Brother Noah to get the help, he says, I'm going to hire Brett because he's real good at drawing on his paper. Come on, Brett. Come and help me. He's been picked on a lot today. All right, he says, I'm going to call Brett, and I'm going to have Brett help me. So the first thing it does is he says, I got Brett here. He's going to help me. So he comes in. Brett comes in, and he says, all right, I want you to go over to the I got two jobs. I got one in Neosho, I got one in Joplin. We're going to go to the one in Joplin. We're going to go ahead and put the receptacles in and different things like that. And Brett looks at him and says, no, I think we better go to the one in Neosho. Now, I want you to think about this, all right? I know it sounds silly and everything, but I want you to think about this. Now, we have an employer here that has employed somebody, and he comes in and says, no, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. There you go. That's exactly what would happen. Go sit down, bud. Let's give him a great big round of applause. He's done great. That sounds really weird, doesn't it? It doesn't sound right, does it? I mean, you get an employer that comes in to employ you, and then you turn against them, and you don't come under the authority that you're supposed to be coming under. Something wrong with that. And I want you to understand that in the ministry, when you get a phone call, you better make sure that it's God. But if it is God that you're there, you have to come under the chain of command, just like God designed it to be. And it doesn't matter what you think or where you think that they may be wrong or right. If it's their vision, you follow after what they're doing. You have to come under authority, no matter what. If it's ever anything moral or something that you don't feel like that you can do and stay saved, then you need to go and talk to them and tell them. If you can't come to agreement, then you need to step out of position. But you never come against that authority that's over you. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times, what will happen is that Brett will come in and he'll say, well, okay, that's fine. I'll go to Joplin. And all of a sudden he goes to Joplin and I'm another guy over there doing the plumbing. And he says, yeah, well, we had these two jobs to do and different things, and we're doing this and that. And all of a sudden I say, well, that's good, Brett, but don't you think you should have went to Neosho? Don't you think that that had been the best thing to do? Come on, man, you got to talk to your boss. Comes in between. And if you're not careful, that'll happen. It'll happen with people, it'll happen with the devil. And it happened. I'll give you an example of it. That's the way when you begin to question authority, when you question, I'm not talking about whenever you go against it, but when you begin to question authority, the devil's got you. That's the same way that he got the first man was created, the first man and woman was created. He put question in their mind. That's all he needed. Just give him that little foothold, and now he's got you. You're eating the fruit. All right? So you need to understand, all right, that whenever you come into a position that you don't question the authority, you do what the authority has told you to do. All right? Coming under authority, let me tell you something, and it doesn't matter if you're called to be senior pastor, you're always under authority. Pastor Davis makes himself accountable to different people. I feel like that's an awesome thing. If I ever become the pastor of this church or wherever it may be, I'm going to find people that I can come under authority. I feel like that's important. We're always going to be under God's authority. All right, so that's, you're always under authority, no matter if you're the high man on the totem pole. You're always coming under authority. However, Pastor Davis also makes himself accountable to Brother Gaither, one of the elders of our church. He makes himself accountable to some of his mentor preachers. If he has questions, he'll call and ask them. Don't ever think that you know it all and that you're too good. You need to find you somebody who you have confidence in. Write their number down, and whenever you have a question, call them and ask them. All right? Make yourself accountable. All right? You're always coming under authority. All right? So, when you come under authority, let me read a couple of things here to you today that I just kind of jotted down this morning. All right. Too often people leave the very place, church, jobs, cities, where God has planted them because they disagree with the authorities that set over them. If God placed you in a place, then if you say you're called to that place, then stick it out. And I want to let you know something. All right, everybody look at my big nose right now. All right, everybody pay attention. Sometimes it doesn't make sense what the authority figure, his decision, but it's because you don't know all the details. Amen. It's a good preacher, Brother Jared. That's what Brother Snow does. All right. When you don't know all the details, you don't know what happened, and all you see is what's from the outside. And it's real easy for people in the church to get, to have problems and different things when they're just looking from the outside. If you don't have confidence enough in your pastor to make the right decisions, you need to pray through. Amen. Hallelujah. And if he does something that's morally wrong, then that's something different. That's something you want to call and get some help on. I want to tell you something. If he's making decisions that you don't quite agree with, you need to think, because maybe there's a scenario there that you don't know about. All right? All right. Let's turn to Samuel chapter 15. Samuel chapter 15. Verse number 11, in order to come under someone and under authority, you have to learn to be obedient. Can you say amen? And it's not just about, well, we'll cover that here in a second. Samuel chapter 15, verse 11 says, it repenteth me that I have, Jesus, God's saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Hallelujah. It grieved Samuel. I wished that this had never happened. I wish he had never been in the position that he's in. I'm going to tell you something, guys. I don't know how many times I've heard this, and people say, I put him there. I put him in a position. But, man, I wish I never would have put him in that position. And the reason why, I want you to understand, here God is telling, I wish I never put him there. But let's take a look at the scenario that brought us to this point. Here we see Saul, and Saul, I know that there's other mistakes that Saul made. I know we're going to talk about what brought us up right to this point. Here we see Saul that has literally done 99.9 or probably 99.5% was obedient 99.5% and was only about 5% or 0.5% disobedient. Everything else he obeyed God in. God told him, he said, go and kill everything, go and destroy him. Well, he killed everything but the king. Well, you know, if we're making excuses, you can say, well, you know, I mean, I killed all the people. I just saved the authority figure, the king. And I killed, I took care of everything, but I saved back the flock and everything because, and I'm going to kill them because I'm going to sacrifice it to you. And it's going to be as an offering to you. And he could have made excuses for, and really, to be honest, if you take a look at it, his heart and everything and what he was trying to do, you could say, man, it was a good thing that he was trying to do. He was trying to sacrifice the Lord. He was trying, but God told him, he said, no, what you don't understand is that I want you to be obedient 100%, and 99.5% is not enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're obedient almost enough, that's still not enough, to the point that God looked at him and said, I wish I'd have never put you in that position. And I want you to understand that if you're going to be in a position of authority, you have to be obedient 100%. You can't hold anything back. God expects you to be obedient 100%. All right? And this is even to the point to where we read down in verse 22, it says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Okay, in other words, you're sacrificing, you're doing all these different things, but the obedience of the Lord is more important. All right? He goes on to say, as in the obedience of the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, man, I'm worn out. I've worked through this 12. I got to sleep at 2 o'clock last night. I set everything up, and, oh, I'm so worn out. And all the things that I'm doing for the Lord, and Mandy's heard it. I've come home saying it. Oh, all the things that I do for God, and oh, I'm just so worn out, and God's going to have to help me, and God's going to have to, and all the sacrifices that we made, and everything that we've given up to be in the ministry, and everything that we do to be in the ministry, and we constantly, Brother Noah, pass up because we're in the ministry. Those are all great and well, but the obedience is better than every sacrifice that we've ever made to be in God's ministry. Hallelujah. It's your daily walk, your daily decisions that you make. David knew this when he inquired of the Lord regularly. Hallelujah. Am I boring you? All right. And I want you to hear what else he said. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So here we go from 0.5%. Hey, guys, right here, this back row right here. How many of you guys have ever disobeyed your parents 0.5% of the time? That's a pretty good number. You know, you think about it. You know, if I could get my kids to be good 99.5%, man, I'd be on top of the world. How about it, girls? Mom, Dad, I'm obedient 99.5% of the time. Woo! That's a good number right there. If I'm shooting free throws and I can make, and my percentage is 99.5%, woo, dog. That's good. All right? That's a pretty good number, isn't it? But that 0.5%, God called rebellion. Hallelujah. I mean, we're talking obedient. The majority of what he done was obedient. And we just read right there, he said, no, no. What you call just a little, I call rebellion. Hallelujah. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. When you come under God's authority, when you come under your pastor's authority, learn to be obedient. Follow through to the very end. Every detail. All right, every comma. Every period, when you're finished, walk away, say, I've done everything that I could do. Glory to God. Amen. Obedient to the T. All right. So, coming under authority. Now, I want you to understand that you are not only going to come under authority, but you are going to be in authority. All right. Now, this is something that we try to stress to our people. You know, there's a certain amount of, I think I'm making that noise, Sister Shayla. There's a certain amount, no, it isn't me. It's somebody else's cell phone. All right. No, you're all right. It's probably Shayla back there. She does that to me all the time. I'm just kidding. All right, but now I've lost my train of thought again. A certain amount of authority. Thank you. She's really listening. All right. A certain amount of authority is going to be given to you. When you get a position, that position demands a certain amount of authority. All right. All right. So in other words, when you receive authority, you step up. Everybody's looking at you. It's not a fun thing. Okay. It's not something that you're supposed to enjoy. And now I can say, hey, you do this and you do this and you go iron my clothes, brother, because it looked like you're pretty good at that. And, you do this and that. No. All right. When you're up here, it's not a very fun thing. Everybody looks at you. Everybody can see you. You're elevated to a new level. There's a certain amount that is done. So that's the reason why that whenever you come in to ministry, that you have to make sure that your life is right. You walk that straight line. Because if you don't, everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to point it out. All right. Now, let me ask you this. We have some visitors that were here last night. All right. We have... we've been bringing them night to night. Awesome, man. I love it. They come. They're from Seneca. And we bring them. And if Brother Matthew up here up front, if Brother Matthew walks outside, Brother Matthew, he's not here, right? None of them here. All right. Brother Matthew. Okay, I'm just not going to say it. He may have something that I don't do. All right, let's go to something else. Let's use a make-believe person. All right, let's say we have somebody come in off the street and they drink, okay? Okay, let's say that person walks outside and they grab a beer, or you see them in town and they got a beer and they're drinking a beer. All right, now if you look at that person and they just come into church and they're drinking a beer, you say, okay, we need to pray for them. All right, but let me ask you this. What if Brother Jared's down there drinking it? Then the whole town's going to know about it. Matter of fact, it'll be on Facebook. It'll be in that line that me and Brother Noah was talking about from coast to coast. All right? So what are you saying, Brother Jared? When you're up here, you have to make sure that your life is right. That's the reason why, young ladies, if you have a problem with lying, get it under control now. Young men, if you have a problem with pornography, get it whipped now.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Whatever you're battling with, get it whipped. All right? Get it taken care of. You don't want to be carrying something under the cover or under the rug whenever you come into this thing. All right? You want everything to be out in the open. Amen? All right. So when you come into authority, there's a certain amount of authority that you're already going to have, clout that you're already going to have. But I want to also tell you that there's a certain amount that you're going to have to earn. Okay? Certain amount that you have to earn. All right. So, when you say you become a youth pastor, are you, is your dad like a preacher or something like that? Your uncle? Okay. It seemed like it. You got that preacher look about you. I don't know. But, he was actually, we're going to have him sing tonight. He really was singing great here the other day in the room. I was listening and it's really a blessing. I feel the Lord. But, No, but anyway, he's you come into the ministry, you're going to have a certain amount of authority that's given to you, but you cannot, everybody listen to this, please. You cannot demand authority out of your people. You cannot demand it. It has to be earned. There's no doubt in my mind that I could go up to Morgan and say, Morgan, I need this, this, and this. I need it by 12. And Morgan would do anything and everything in her power to go get it done and to get it here and have it whenever I need it. There's no doubt in my mind that she would. She would turn the world upside down to try to get it done. You know why? I've been here for 17 years. Amen. I've been here for 17 years. What you need to know when you're first getting into the ministry, Brother Brian McKelvey told me the last time I was down there preaching, he said, not everybody. He said, Brother Hurst told him, he said he was feeling pretty good about himself. Brother Hurst called him into the office and said, Brother Brian, not everybody loves you. I thought, man, that's awesome. That really is. Not everybody loves you. Not everybody likes your preaching. You know, not everybody's with you. You know, he's just starting out in the ministry and he's feeling good about himself. Man, not everybody loves you. But he was also able to look at him and say, I'm behind you. I'm your pastor. I'm with you. I'm going to, you know, now not everybody hates you either. Glory to God. But I want you to understand when you come into the ministry, not everybody's going to like what you're doing. Not everybody's going to be behind you at first. You have to earn the respect in order to have that authority that you need over them, okay? You can't come in and demand respect and say, hey, I want you to, I'm thinking of a time right now when we were taking a choir tune and we had somebody from a certain place, a certain town, a certain city, and he come to our church and came in, and we were going on a choir tour, and we all came up, and we were practicing, and this was like his first practice that he came to in choir, and we were preparing for choir tours around that time, and so we, all of us guys, now you got to understand, I was already in this ministry for probably 2-3 years at that time, and had already gained some of the respect, different things from the young people. So this guy gets up, and he's a little older than I am, so he gets up, and he says, he's sitting there talking, and Pastor Davis, the choir is over, and everybody's still in their groups, and Dad says, all right, here's the things that I want you to know about choir tour. Boom, 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 tells them, and he says, Brother Jared, do you have anything to add? So I added a little bit to that, said, you know, I want us to be spiritually minded. I don't want you to go to this, you're ministering here, and this is important. I put my little 2 cents in, and then I say something funny at the end, you know, and so you know, we're laughing, you know. I kind of have a cut up like that. I kind of like to throw things in every now and then, if you haven't noticed, but I like so I kind of loosened it up a little bit, and then he said he wanted to say something, so I didn't really hear what was going on, and so we, you know, somebody else said something, so we kind of giggled a little bit, laughed really quietly, and he turns around and says, "Hey, I got the floor." I mean, just immediately, I mean, it was like, okay, you're out, buddy. You're gone. And just like that, he lost his opportunity to really minister in our church. Just like that. I want to tell you something. It's very important that whenever you come into authority, you have a certain amount of clout. But let's not demand it. Let's respect, or let's earn the respect. All right? You have to earn some of that. All right? So when you first come in, you're not going to have everybody with you. Work with the pastor. Come under authority. Use the chain of command. There's a lot of things that we could talk about here today. Use the chain of command and earn the respect. And there'll come a time whenever you're able to say, okay, I want this, 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 and this. You have anything you want to add, Pastor? You look like you're on the edge of your seat here. That's good. Did you hear that? Don't let your expectations become demands. All right? Don't let your expectations become. All right? Okay. What time is it? Okay. All right. So, number one, come under authority. And after 45 minutes of that, let's go to our number two. Capture the vision. Don't worry, this one's only about twice as many notes. So. Capture the vision. Number one, come under authority. Number two, capture the vision. That saying, if you're still trying to get it down, is don't let your expectations become demands. Don't let your expectations become demands. Everybody got that? Okay. All right. Come under authority. Number two, capture the vision. We all know the scripture in Proverbs where it says, without a vision, the people perish. All right? So where there is no vision, the people perish. All right? So it's important for you to capture the vision of the pastor and of the church. Okay? Capture the vision. All right? Now, there's different ways that this can be done. A lot of times, you'll know the vision by just looking at the church. All right? I was talking to a couple people before, and they said there's some that are family churches that they have. They want to keep the family atmosphere in there. There are others that are outreach churches. You don't have to be here very long till you know where ours is. We're reaching out. But Pastor Davis, what is our three theme? What do you call it? I can't remember now. The three messages for our church: to rescue, recover, and restore. It's Luke 15, to rescue, recover, and restore. That is the heart of this church, the heart of Christ, to rescue, recover, restore. That's the vision of our pastor. Now, if you can't catch the vision of your pastor, some pastors may not, you know, open up too well. And really, if you go into pastorship, you need to open up. You need to say, hey, this is where I'm headed. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And I want you on board here. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. But I love, if I'm going in to Brother Noah Hatfield's electrical company, I'm going to sit down and say, okay, bud, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me? What is my job description? What do you want me? What are you expecting out of me? I feel like that's a very important conversation that you need to have with your pastor, to sit down and say, okay, brother, I'm coming in. I'm new at this. First of all, tell me where you're headed. What's the vision of this church? Are you wanting to outreach? Are you wanting what, you know, and are you wanting me to strengthen the core youth group right now? If you're a youth pastor, you want me to strengthen the core youth group? Or are you wanting me to expand? Or you want me to try to bring in other youth group? Or do you want to wait till we get this strengthened to bring them in and have a good atmosphere? Whatever the vision of that pastor is, you've got to catch it, all right? You have to catch the vision of that pastor. Know the direction that he wants you to go. Amen? All right, so capture that vision, all right? Come under authority, capture the vision. All right, the first thing is what I'm talking about. Know the vision, all right? You first of all have to know the vision. Second of all, you have to go the vision. And third of all, you have to show the vision, all right? Know the vision, go the vision, show the vision. All right, to capture the vision, first of all, to know the vision. That's what I'm talking about. Sit down, have a conversation, find out, look around you. Do they have bus ministry? What do they have? What are they trying to outreach in right now? Where is their focus? All right, wherever their focus is where you need to get tapped into. All right, see if there's a new area that they want to open up. Talk to your pastor. Communicate with your pastor at least once a week, for goodness sake. Sit down and talk to him. Some people can do this, some can't. Take criticism, just the way that you're built. Go up to Pastor Davis, say, Pastor Davis, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Tell me. Some people can take that. Some people can do that. Other people will analyze it to death and get real down on themselves. All right, just depending on what kind of person that you are. I'm trying to think of what I've got a book right now that I'm supposed to be reading from Brian. He talks about it. I think you was telling me about it before. Four different types of people. But anyway, if you can possibly do that, sit down with your pastor, ask him what you're doing wrong. All right, ask him where your strengths are, ask him where your weaknesses are. Let's work on it. Let's get it right. Remember, you are a force together. All right. I want to add one more thing here that I just thought about in a book that I was reading. A book called Undercover. Every young person needs to read it before you get in the ministry. It's about authority, about coming under authority. It's by John Bevere, Undercover. Write that down. Buy that when you get home and read it. The prefix here, let's see if I can pull up the whole thing here. The prefix die, I'm missing it here. Division, the word division. All right, the prefix die means to. Putting it together, division means two visions. Division means two visions. All right? Now, I can see where maybe there's a vision under a vision. All right? Or maybe where Pastor Davis would say, this is where I want the church to go. This is where we're headed. And I come in under him and say, okay, well, in this vision, do you think I might be able to go to a Crowder College and might be able to do some work there? Yes, I can. I can see where maybe there's a vision. But I want to tell you something. When you start getting two different separate ways, that's where division starts. It's two visions and you're headed two separate ways. And before you know it, one person's working on one side, the other person's working on the other side, and nothing's being accomplished. You're pulling against one another. Pastor Davis wants to go that way, and I'm trying to go this way. And we're going, come on, Pastor Davis, help me for a second. All right, this is probably, I would say, one of the best men of God that we have in our movement here today. All right, Pastor Davis says, okay, I want to take the church in this direction. All right, we're going, everything's going fine. All of a sudden, I go off here and Pastor Davis is going there. Now, what are we doing? We are wearing ourselves out working against each other. Amen. What needs to happen is me coming under authority the way that I need to, and saying, I'm not going to be a part of division in my church and let that two become one again and me come with my pastor and follow my pastor. Glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Whatever the vision for your pastor is, you have to capture that vision and you have to help and promote your pastor through that vision. Help him to get where. Remember, God called him to be the pastor over that church, not you. You were called by the pastor. All right? To enable him, to help him. Thank you, Pastor. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Isn't he great, man? Hallelujah. All right? So, know the vision. Number two, go the vision. You have to walk with him. Pastor Davis has a come on, Megan, help me. All right, Megan is coming. She's a woman of God. She's coming up. She's doing great. And I say, Megan, I want you to be over the songs of our service. All right, so I want you to just stand still, okay? All right, no matter what I tell you to do, just stand still, okay? All right, come on, Megan, come and help me. Come and help me. Let's sing a song. She says, okay, let's do it, let's do it. I'm excited. Woo, we're going to sing some songs. And we're singing Amazing Grace every time because that's the only song that she ever took time to learn. It's not just about knowing the vision. You have to go the vision. It takes work to make this thing go. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, young people, if you're going to see a vision realized, you're going to have to get to work and go the vision. Glory to God. Don't just be a spectator that sits back and says, man, thank you, sis. You've done so well just standing there. She's pretty strong, I'll tell you that. But, you know, upstairs, I've had people where when we were doing this and we hung the trim right here, and we went around and they walked in on Sunday morning and they came in and they said, woo, look at that trim. Man, that looks good. Did you guys paint? Oh, it's going to be so great to have this painted. Oh, man, I am so excited. Hallelujah. And then they get up, and they go out, and they come in next Sunday. Woo, carpet. Man, this is awesome. Carpet, this is just wonderful. I wish it was a different color, but. Yeah. Somebody said something like that at our church. To Bob Davis, you don't want to cross Bob. Bob told him, yeah, we actually had that meeting on Tuesday at work day here. We had that meeting, and you wasn't there, so you didn't get to vote. He said, you're not qualified to have an opinion. You wasn't there on work day. All right, but anyway, man, there are those that just come in, and they're so excited. And you know what? You're going to have them. It don't matter where you're at, you're going to have them. You can't get mad because they're not doing as much work as you. One thing that I've learned is not everybody loves God as much as I do. One thing that I've learned is not everybody loves my pastor as much as I do. All right? Not everybody loves me like I do. All right? Nobody, my wife does. I've got her tricked into thinking I'm a pretty cool guy. All right. Yeah, I'm dapper. She told me one time. All right. They come in, man. And here we are. We're dead. We're trying to get up and preach a sermon. We were working till 10 o'clock last or till 12 o'clock last night, putting that last piece of trim up. We have three of us here, one holding the ladder, one up there, one cutting, one up there with the gun in his teeth, trying to get everything going. And, you know, well, we sure could have used some of that help. You know, there are those that just know the vision, but then there are those, hallelujah. Oh, there are those that catch that vision and are not just looking at where the church wants to go, but they're working right along with the pastor to make sure that the vision gets realized. Hallelujah. So it's not just enough to know the vision. When you come into a ministry, you got to go the vision. If you're a youth pastor and there is I'm going to go a step further than this. If you are over the PA, all right, if you are teaching a Sunday school class and there's a work day called, if you can make it, be there. As a matter of fact, let me just say it like this. If you're saved and you're a member of a church and there's a work day called, you should be there. All right. But for goodness sake, man, if you are in position, be there. Every event, everything that you can possibly make, be there. All right. I can understand if you're in the hospital or if you're way off somewhere. I'm reminded of somebody told me here a while back, somebody who they had this event and this pastor asked this person to be over the games. All right. So she said, oh yeah, I'll do it. I'll be over the games. And she started getting things together and everything. And then he gets a phone call. This is a conversation we had yesterday. So he gets a phone call and says, hey, it was a text. It was a text, even worse. He gets a text and says, hey, can you have so-and-so be over the games and different things? I went to Tulsa. Wow, man. That's one of those people who come in on Sunday morning and say, man, look at this paint. Isn't this nice? They come in and use the toilet time after time, never know who cleans it. They come in, they kneel down on clean carpets, and they never know who cleaned the carpets. It's not just about knowing, it's about going the vision. All right? It's not just about knowing what your pastor wants you to do. All right? But get to work, man. Get to work and go. Hallelujah. Be there at everything. All right. Don't be a promise without a product. We talked about that. Get to work. Do your job well. Had somebody come up to me and tell me, said, man, I feel like this, this, and this. I said, well, is that your job? No. Well, get back to your job. All right? And don't just do your job, but do it well. Don't worry about a pastor's job. Don't worry about so-and-so's job, the board member's job, or the singer's job. While you're griping about how bad the singers are singing, the singers are griping about how bad you're preaching. All right? Or how bad you're not doing your job. Man, if we'd all just focus on each other's, what we're supposed to be focusing on, man, we could make this vision go. All right? So go the vision. My coach used to tell me, leave it all on the court. I'll get to that here in a minute. I want to go back to that. All right? And another thing, too, that I absolutely love. I'm going to do the disappearing act for a minute. So I'm actually going to do the rest of my sermon from in my office. That's a joke. I hope you're all laughing right now. Because if not, it was a bad joke. How many of you guys have ever seen a screwdriver with a Phillips head on it? How many of you guys have ever used that? Raise your hand if you've ever used that. Okay. Let me show you something. All right. Now, you have tools that are capable of being used like a standard screwdriver. All right. Now, that screwdriver is going to come just about like this right here. You're going to be able to use it for one type of screw, aren't you? That Phillips head is the only type of screw you're going to be able to use it for. All right? It comes with a little handle, and you can use it to screw in there. However, what I have here is a multi-tool, because I can use a Phillips head, but if I've got a square head screw, I can use a square head. I've got a flat head in there. I've got a tool right here that I use for closing pools. I've got just about anything that I need. I'm putting one of these two drills, and I can drill, put holes through different things. I can do whatever I need to do. Why? Because it's a multi-tool. I can use it for different things. All right? Don't be a one-dimensional person. Be multi-dimensional. All right? Don't be just used for one little simple thing. All right? Don't just say, well, I'll sing, and that's all I'll do. All right? I'll preach, but that's all I'll do. All right? I heard one person say one time, I don't want to go against them, whatever, this way that they believe, that's fine. But they said that they feel like that you need to spend 24 hours on a message before you preach the message, on studying for that message, 24 hours of study. And I'm thinking in my mind, 24 hours of study, where's the knocking on doors? You know, if you are preparing that much for a sermon on Sunday and a sermon on midweek, when do you have time for outreach? When do you have time for, man, even family time? And 24 hours is a long time to prepare for that. And I'm not saying that we don't need to study, and different things, but I will tell you that, that if preaching is the only thing that you're capable of doing, guys, if preaching is it, then you're not going to be in today's society with the amount of money that our churches have. You're going to be limited. There's not very many churches that are just going to hire you to be a preacher. All right? Young ladies, there's not very many ministries you're going to be able to go into. They're going to be able to have you come in and just be a singer. And you'd be a full-time minister. No, they're looking for somebody who can be a preacher. They're looking for somebody who can be a janitor. They're looking for somebody who can be a maintenance man. Looking for somebody who can be a singer, maybe know the piano or guitar. And what are you saying, Brother Jared? I'm saying be multidimensional, be used in different ways. Okay? So that's very important on going the way. And this is a perfect time to do it. I know it's kind of a side note. It's one of those things that I wanted to share with you, but didn't really go with my notes. So I just threw it in there anyway. All right? Be a multidimensional. All right, number one, come under authority. Number two, capture the vision. Know the vision, go the vision, and show the vision. I'm going to hurry. I know I'm getting long here, but know the vision, go the vision. The last one is show the vision. I want you to understand what I'm saying right here. All right, I am a vacuum salesman. All right, so I get a vacuum out, and I say, all right, I'm going to present to you this vacuum. This vacuum is the number 1,032nd best vacuum in the world. It looks really nice with black, but I actually own a rainbow. All right? And it doesn't really do too well with vacuuming carpets. You know? If you want to vacuum some linoleum or something, yeah, that'll work. But vacuuming carpets, it doesn't do too well. And really, there's a lot better things that are out there than this product. And, but hey, here you go. I'll sell it to you right now. Well, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? You guys would just lap that right up. You guys buy it just like that. But yet, we're okay with saying, well, our preacher is okay. Really has a problem in this area and that area, and kind of have a problem with him over here and over there. And man, our church is dead, and we're just feel like we're in an iceberg. And but hey, come to service on Sunday morning. Really? Good grief! Are you kidding me? What are you trying to sell here? Trying to sell a cold church, all right, with a pastor who you got problems with. And church people that are dead, but come to my church. No, that ain't going to work. All right? I'm going to trip over one of these, I promise you. All right? So what are you doing? Promote your product is what I'm trying to say. Promote your product. First of all, you know, we, and I hate to even say product, promote your pastor, promote your people, promote your church. All right. Be a promoter. Have nothing but good to say. All right. If the services are dead, well then, my goodness, get on your hands and knees and beg for a live service. And if the only person that's going to, if everybody else is going to be dead, then you don't be dead. Get in and get a hold of God. All right. But you have to promote. Don't tear down. There's enough of that going on in your community. There's enough people tearing down your church. What the community needs is somebody to come in there and promote the vision that's been in your church and give them something happy to come to. Glory to God. Hallelujah, man. You can say, if the only good thing you say, man, come and check out our pews. Woo, man, we had the prettiest pews in town. What are you saying, Brother Jared? I'm trying to tell you, and I know that every one of us that are in here have a lot better things than that in our churches, but promote what's good. Find the good things to talk about and talk about it. Let's not find the bad things and talk about it. When you come into ministry, you're going to find things wrong. Me and Pastor Davis don't agree on everything. I'll tell you right now, we've had disagreements. All right? But me and Pastor Davis have worked together for, what is it, 17 years now, I think you've been pastoring for 17 years. I've been in the ministry for a little bit, or 18 years. So I've been in the ministry for a little bit less than that with him. But we've worked together all this time. And I'm going to tell you, you say, well, he's your dad. Yeah. Have you ever tried to work with your dad before? Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, and that's the thing. You know, me and Pastor Davis have not seen eye to eye on everything. We do a lot because we both have the same heart. But I'll tell you, we've learned to promote each other. Somebody comes up to me and says, well, Pastor Davis said this. Well, you know, you don't know the circumstance. Let's go ahead and set up a meeting with him and let's get it taken care of. The more meetings you can set up, the less talk you'll get to you. I guarantee you that. All right? But take care of it the right way. All right? Promote your pastor. Promote your people. Promote your church. The best thing you can do, and this is a side note, the best thing that you can do to get people to stop griping at each other, Morgan, is to bring new blood in the church. That's the best way to do it. When everybody else is looking at someone new, it keeps them from looking at everybody else. All right? I'm telling you, that's a little trick that we've learned here. It's good to have new people have outreach. All right, come under authority, capture the vision. Am I over yet? I feel like I'm over right now. All right. And then the last point here is carry the burden. All right, I came up with a CPR equation that we can use. All right, use the CPR equation. Care plus prayer equals results. I want you to understand that, and we've heard it before, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Don't worry, sis. They won't bite you if you don't swat them. She had a wasp flying around her head there. She was very gracious about it, though. We didn't hear a scream or anything like that. All right. So it's good to see you, Brother Tyler. But Brother Tyler is working in a new church down in Texas. He just left this church and took an opportunity down there. And I pray everything's going well. Sure, an awesome asset here. We miss him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, carry the burden. Use the CPR, care plus prayer. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If you come into a church and you're going around and laying hands on everybody, praying for everybody, and you don't make the baseball game, you're not going to make a big impact, okay? Pastor Davis told me here a while back, he said some of the bus kids, he actually took time out of his busy schedule to get into something that they cared about. Now, this is good. I want you to understand this. This is the way, not that we just get people to come, but this is the way that we keep people. All right, Pastor Davis ends up going with that, or going to see that family play. baseball. I wouldn't want none of his young, none of his grandkids were out there playing. None of us, we wasn't out there playing a softball game or anything. And he just happened on it there. He took time out of his schedule to go and to watch this kid play, sit right there where mom and dad could see him. And see that, hey, and go up to him afterwards and say, man, it was awesome seeing you. Well, man, I sure appreciate you coming, Pastor Davis. Glory to God. Use the CPR, man. Let's care for these people. All right, let's just not lay hands and pray on them. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got to care. But I've learned that if you just care for them and there's no spiritual, there's no prayer in there, and it only goes so far, you can become a buddy to them. But we're not trying to become a buddy to them and lead them to our social group. Amen. All right, we don't bring these people to our church so that way we can grow numbers and get a bigger, nicer bus and a bigger, nicer sanctuary, different things. We want to show them Christ. That's the reason why you have to have it with prayer. All right, you care for these people. But what makes us care for them is when we kneel down, we pray. I'll give you this story, and I'm almost done. When Brother, was it David Gibbs? I think it was. That was a principal over a Christian school. I think it was David Gibbs. He had a woman that worked, a supervisor that worked for him. And he said, you know, as time went on, he recognized that all of the kids from her learning center were just doing awesome spiritually. They were staying in church. They were doing awesome spiritually. So, and he thought, man, this is really something. I've got to find out what this woman's doing. So he came over one morning and came in. You know, he was early all the time. He come in and he came in to go into her learning center to see what she had set up and different things. And before he went to crack the door, he heard something. And he said he looked in the window. And there that woman was. She was kneeling down, young people, at every desk, kneeling down, laying hands on that desk. Hallelujah. And she was praying individually for every student before they walked in that door. And what did she say, Dad? I can't remember. Oh, God. Did you hear that? She said, Lord, help me win this one. My life is worth nothing if I can't win this one. Glory to God. Getting down on her knees, crawling around the learning center, praying. That's caring. Glory to God. When you can pray that way, you will have the kind of love that you need to have for these people that are going to be under you, that you're ministering to. I'm going to tell you something. If you take prayer out of the equation, it ain't nothing. But if you'll get down on your hands and knees and beg God for you to be effective, hallelujah, you can be effective. You can change lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Davis says, you ought to rejoice when your people rejoice. And you ought to hurt when your people hurt. When you see the Swofford family going through what they suffered, your heart goes out to them and you cry when they're crying. And you're praying about their needs that they're praying about. And then you're rejoicing when $45,000 gets taken care of. Hallelujah. Then you're rejoicing whenever you see him healed up and everything's good and he didn't have to have that surgery. I'm telling you something, young people. You have to love your people. Glory to God. You have to care for them and you have to pray for them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and worship God for a minute if we can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Capture the vision, or come under authority. Capture the vision, carry the burden. Glory to God. Don't let your pastor carry it on his own. He called you there for help. You were raised up in that church to be a help. When you go home, don't let your pastor carry the burden all by himself. The Bible says it's good for a young man to carry that burden in his youth. Hallelujah. I believe it's good for a young lady to carry that burden in their youth. Man, if you got a financial situation in the church to come up, don't make your board pay for it all the time. Get out there. Get busy. Work. Come under the burden. Take care of it. Go up. I've had our young people come up to me and literally take care of big needs. Say the youth is going to take care of this. That's awesome. It's been years ago, but I'm just kidding. But they're always getting under the burden. I'm telling you something. Get under that burden. I want to read one more scripture to you. Oh, where was it? Yeah, here it is. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to know one more thing. When you walk away from that ministry, don't let it be said of you that you held anything back. I was going to tell you, my coach playing basketball, we were playing in the, we were the number six seed coming in to the tournament, postseason tournament. Nobody gave us a shot. Everybody thought we were just going to lose and be done. Not real sure how many teams were in it. I do know that we played the third place team and the second place team. But we played the third place team first, and we were number six coming in. And we beat them, so it was an upset. So then you had the number six seeded team playing the number two seeded team. We beat the number two seeded team. These guys could dunk and everything else. And so we came in playing the number one team. I don't even think they had lost the whole season. And I remember something. I think even my dad told me. I remember my dad and my coach both telling me. I use this a lot. They told me, they said, son, when you walk away, don't leave anything back. Leave it all on the court. Hallelujah. Leave it all on the court. We went up 15 points right off the bat. Up 15 the first quarter. Well, they ended up pulling it together and ended up screeching it out at the end, beat us. But whenever I walked away from that court, I could look in that mirror and I could say, son, Jared, you gave it all. Hallelujah. You didn't leave anything behind. You gave 100%. Look at me, young people. Leave it all on the court. When you walk away from that ministry, let it not be said that you didn't give your all. Let it be said that you gave everything that you could, that you were sold out to that ministry. Hallelujah. Leave it all on the court. Let's stand. Hope I didn't bore you this morning. Share with you what the Lord laid on my heart. Like I said, there's so many things that we could cover. But I just felt like during this, we should cover that you need to come under authority, that you need to capture the vision, and that you need to carry the burden. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for this time that we've had together, God. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Jesus, here today, Lord, to know it's important, God, for us to know the chain of command and to come under the chain of command. Lord, and since the beginning of time, there's always been authority. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Before we ever can lead, we've got to learn to follow. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to follow, to learn to come under authority, to capture that vision of the pastor, Even if it means sitting down and talking to him and saying, what do you expect out of me? What is my scope of duties? And Lord, and then last of all, help us, Lord, to get under that burden of that pastor, the burden of that church, to help carry that burden and to realize the vision. Hallelujah, Lord. God, we love you, Jesus. You know, if you, I've said this, I taught this at our staff meeting this year. I talked about where the vision thrives. Oh, how did I put it? The vision thrives. The burden drives. I talked about how that if you get into, I said that vision without a burden is like getting in a car and knowing where you want to go, but not having any gas. If you catch the vision of the church and never have the burden of the church, you'll know where the church wants to go. You'll see it. But you won't have the power to do anything about it. It can also be the other way around, where you catch the vision or you catch the burden of the church and you carry the burden, but you never capture the vision. And a burden without the vision is like getting in a vehicle that's fully fueled, but not having anywhere to go. And so you just wander around. And you're carrying a burden, but you don't know where you're going. And what I want to encourage you to do here today is, number one, you need to come under authority. You have to know the chain of command and know where your place is. Number two, capture that vision of your church. Don't just be okay with just kind of flowing through things, but learn where your church is headed. And then know the vision, go the vision, and show the vision. Do everything you can to promote. And then last of all, carry that burden. Don't just let it be okay for some of the youth group to carry the spiritual part of the service, and you just catch the end of the road there. But carry that burden also. And wherever God leads you, whatever He calls you to do in your life, walk away from it knowing that you have given everything that you can, and that you as a person can look in the mirror and say, Jared, you left it all on the court. Hallelujah. You left it all there. You walked away from it. And you can leave with your head high, shoulders back, and go wherever God wants you to go. Let's just take a little time here together around the altar. Let's just pray that God will help us with these three things, with authority, vision, and burden. Let's gather around the altar and pray. Glory.